Hello and welcome to Talking Trading. I'm Caroline Steve and it's great to have you join us. We have an extraordinary interview today. The father of modern candlesticks, Steve Nissen, joins us on the show to share how he brought candlestick charting to the West. When Steve unlocked these secrets of the Orient, he revolutionized technical analysis forever. And he speaks candidly on the pride he feels in his accomplishments and imparts his advice to all the bold souls who invest in the share market. But first up, here's the news for the week ending 29th of August with economist and Sky Business News commentator Jonathan Barrett. Jono Barrett, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Caroline.
How did the equity market close in New York?
Well, the equity markets basically closed, the Dow closed up 18 points, the Nasdaq was up 22, and the S&P was up 6. Now, quite an interesting week because we went to new highs, but then we're just holding on to those new highs. On the week, the market really only closed up about 0.5%. So quite an interesting close, but still people still out there thinking it can go higher.
All right, and what about the Australian market? How did that close?
Australian market's pretty much treading water. 5,650 is a key level for us. It is quite interesting that when you really look at what our market's doing and compared to the US, our market had a record high, 6,750, October 2007. So it's interesting when you see the Dow continuing to go to record highs. Remember, the S&P has tripled over the last 5 years, and our market still find it a little bit difficult. But all in all, our market closed on a reasonable note.
What were some hot and what were some cold sectors?
I think it's when you look at the sectors at the moment, I think it's more important to think, because the market's really divided firmly into two camps. And it's the camp of the people that think that all the markets have got a lot further to go, and those that are looking for about a 40 to 60% correction. So the market, I think, is really separated in where they think the market will go. But in order to guide that, I can see that there are some developing themes that will help us to choose which way the market will eventually go. I guess the key is obviously geopolitical events in Syria and Iraq and also in the Ukraine. And it was interesting to hear some of the news on the weekend concerning the Ukraine with what Putin is actually saying, that he's defending the rights of Russians. And that really sort of suggests what he's always done, that he has this view that he actually wants to annex that part of the Ukraine back to Russia. And when you've got a pro-Western government in Ukraine, it could be an issue. The other thing which is quite interesting and a theme worth developing is the diverging policies of the central banks. You have the European central banks that are looking at more fiscal type of expansion and stimulus, and the US winding back its stimulus. So I think when you look at it, the two camps and investors are firmly divided, but I think these are the themes which will help guide where we think the market will go.
What patterns jumped out from the charts this week?
I think it's got a lot to do with this consolidation phase and what the market is actually doing. When I look at the Dow, 17,150 is a key level for me. If it can get through that area, and it is holding above these areas at the moment, chances are it'll just continue to move higher. When I look at our market, 5,650 is another key area. Also, on the commodities, I tend to be looking at a close eye at 93.50 on the oil and 12.70 on gold. If either one of those areas break, then we could be in for a bit of a fall. But overall, I think we're still in more of a consolidating nature for a lot of the markets.
Opportunities that you're looking at this week?
I guess the main opportunities, and it's going to be a week full of lots of data. And remember, tonight we do have Labor Day US holiday, but we also have some Chinese data. We've also got the RBA this week in terms of what it's looking to do in terms of interest rate policy. And towards the close, we've got US data. So I think it's really the sectors which I'm looking at, I guess more so the banking sectors, see what's actually happening there. Remember, they've reported some very good profits. And also looking at, I guess, a lot more companies looking to buy back their own stock with excess cash. And that in itself might provide some support. So I guess more like the banking sector. Mining sector's gone off a little bit cold, and also the manufacturing.
Advice to traders this week?
I think that generally I'm still of the view that because we're not trading significantly higher, that I'll be very choosy and I'll probably be just looking to take some profits on some trades. Either that or I'll start to be writing call options against some of my long equity positions. The big problem there, volatility is quite low. But if you've got some good levels, if you're happy to lose stock, then that's a good form of income.
John O'Barrett, you were the recipient of a reward last week. Would you like to tell us about it?
Yeah. Now, that was an award done by ANSIF. That was on climate and what we call parametric weather insurance. And they gave us an award for innovation on that. And the work we do has to do a lot with circumventing the adverse financial effects due to weather. And it's a hot topic at the moment. And we probably expect, obviously some more to come. But as we know, weather in itself can affect the profitability of a lot of companies. And we're looking at that type of weather insurance. So it was an innovation award. We've been doing lots of work and it was well received.
John O'Barrett, congratulations. Thank you for your time today.
Thanks, Caroline.
Hi, I'm Pete Godfrey. They call me the Wizard of Words. And I tell you what, I just love listening to Talking Trading.
The father of modern candlesticks, Steve Nissen, revealed candlestick charting to the West. His first book released in 1993 revolutionised technical analysis. He ignited flames of interest in candlesticks and lit a brand new path for traders. Since Steve uncovered the previously hidden aspects of Japanese technical analysis, traders have never looked back, and candlesticks are now the most popular charting method in the world. It is with great privilege that we welcome Steve Nissen to the show today. The father of modern candlesticks, Steve Nissen, hello and welcome to the show.
My pleasure joining you.
Secrets of the Orient. What is the history behind candlesticks?
Yeah, the reason I refer to these as Secrets of the Orient is because it's amazing. These have been used, meaning candlesticks, have been used in Japan pretty much since the 1870s. You know, there's a lot of hype out there about candlesticks started 300 or 400 years ago. It's really not true. But until I revealed them to the Western world in the 1980s, nobody knew about them. So, you know, that's why I kind of use the term secret. The idea was back in the 17th century, the Japanese were trading rice futures, and rice traders wanted to forecast the price of rice. So they used psychological analysis. Back then, there was no open, high, and open. There was just closes. But the psychological aspects, for example, you know, they would have an expression, when everyone is bullish, there is reason for caution. So even back then, they understood the idea of a market being overbought. But a lot of the psychological concepts that they used for trading rice futures in the 17th century eventually incorporated themselves into the candlestick patterns and analysis that the Japanese evolved when the Japanese stock market began in the 1870s. And the way I uncovered them in the 1980s is there was a 1 or 2 page article I saw written in English about candlesticks. As I'm a member of the Market Technicians Association, and they have articles from all over the world. And that really piqued my interest. And then down the hall from me when I was working at one of the brokerage firms, there was a Japanese trader, and she said, oh, yeah, they use candlesticks all the time. So I found an American who was going to Japan, and I told him to buy every book he could on candlesticks. And I paid for him to translate them. And then it took me about a year to translate his translations because the Japanese do everything by metaphor and analogies.
A clever hawk hides its claws.
Right, that's right, that's right. And it's interesting because the Japanese proverbs that I chose were really one of the first things to be picked up by the media. So anyway, so I wrote my book, and that kind of started the groundswell in candlesticks. It's very nice to see all the years of work and the tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars I put into research studying the candlesticks have paid off for a lot of very successful traders and investors.
How did you know that they would that were so powerful?
Well, I found out very early. My job at the brokerage firm was giving trade recommendations. And as I was doing the research into the candlesticks, I was giving trade recommendations based on candlesticks, but I did not let the brokers know that because I wasn't sure, you know, how successful I would be or how successful these techniques were. And then by the end of the first half year, when they had the annual the track record, every half year they put the P&L, the profit and loss, of all the analysts, of the 20 analysts, I was the top analyst. And so I knew there was something to this.
Okay, so you wrote your book in 1990, and it was titled Japanese Candle Charting Techniques. What happened then?
What happened was initially there were one or two charting packages, like Bloomberg had candlesticks. And then when the book came out and people, you know, started to see how successful they could be, what really spurred it, I think, is the other charting packages started to follow suit and they had candlesticks.
So Louise Bedford, she is Australia's most quoted author on the share market, and she read your book in 1993. She was in bed, her arms were paralysed, and she devoured what you had written. In the year 2000, she published her own book, Trading Secrets, which pretty much popularised candlestick charting in Australia. You inspired Louise Bedford. Who's inspired you?
Who's inspired me? I guess the Japanese traders who use these strategies. When I was doing my research into the 1980s, I spoke to the top Japanese traders at the major financial firms in Japan, and they all spoke English. And back then, you know, everything was by fax. Anybody really inspired me, it was they who were so open about revealing the strategies, because I had a lot of questions after the translations of the books. There were a lot of nuances and a lot of things I didn't understand, and they were so open and so forthcoming with their take on it. So I would have to say all those who helped me really refine the candlestick knowledge that I had and take it to the next level.
Did anybody mind you printing candlesticks to the West?
No, I just had to watch out. I just had to watch out for Ninja. So, you know.
When your traders come to you thinking they should quit, what do you tell them?
Education. The quickest way to the bank is education. We actually have a free informational site. We get a lot of free information. It's called WWW Candle Charts Academy. And in it, you know, especially for those who are new or thinking about quitting or want to make sure they understand how to use candlesticks and understand trading correctly, what's great about that is one of the things we have there, one of the bonuses beside, you know, giving them chart challenges and market updates, is we have an e-book called The Four Common and Most Dangerous Mistakes Traders Make. And I would suggest, you know, people look at that to really get a sense of maybe they're making one of the mistakes, you know, one of these four mistakes, like one of the big ones, four mistakes.
Go on, tantalizers. What are they? I was going to ask.
Like looking at risk-reward. You can have a perfect, what looks like a perfectly fine trade or an investment set up, and if it's a poor risk-reward, you should step away from it. And that's one of the challenges. People will look at a hammer, for example, a candlestick signal, and the reason I mentioned education before is because you could have a hammer, but at times you would think about, you would consider buying on the hammer, but other times you would just ignore the hammer. So not every candlestick signal should be used as a trade. Some should be used to initiate a new trade. Some should be used to exit an existing trade. Some candlestick signals should actually be just ignored.
Price target point. What is it?
Price target, that's just a I'm assuming you mean what we in the States call it, just price target. So you could have, for example, a head and shoulders pattern, and that's a Western technique. And based on the head and shoulders, you get a price target if the market breaks under what's called the neckline of the head and shoulders. And what's wonderful about the candlesticks is because the candlesticks use the open, high, low, and close just as bar charts do. One of the core concepts that we teach in our education is not only candlesticks, but combining candlesticks with Western indicators like price targets. Mm. Because all the Western techniques, moving averages, trend lines, price targets, you name it, can be used on and indeed should be used on a candlestick chart.
Three pieces of advice you would give to our traders.
Educate. I don't know if you have this expression in your neck of the woods, but when we're looking at real estate here in the States, they say location, location, location. And
yeah, we've got that.
Kind of echoing that is education, education, education. To me, the market is like a dangerous neighborhood. You don't want to go there alone. And your best ally is really education. We find from real-world experience, from the testimonials we get, from my working with institutions, and the reason they have me back time after time, is they found that the more education they got, the more they understood the nuances, the better the traders they were.
So pretty much the 16th century samurai swordsman's quote, learning is the gate, not the house. You had to first get through the gate to go to the house. The gate's education.
Right, right, right. The gate is the first steps in the education, right? And then the house is the education. And like I said, you know, one of the common misuses, people think they understand candlesticks, and they don't understand, well, nothing is 100%. You know, again, one of the proverbs, even monkeys fall from trees, you know, one of the Japanese proverbs, nothing is 100%, so a stop should always be placed. But people don't understand that, you know, they see a candlestick signal, and it, why didn't it work out? It's probably just lack of knowing how to use it correctly.
All right, just very quickly, just to fluff your feathers and to strut your stuff and tell everyone how good you are, who have you worked with and shared candlesticks with?
The reason for the noise, I mean, there's so many. I mean, I've done seminars at Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan. I've spoken at the Federal Reserve Bank, the World Bank. It's interesting, the Federal Reserve, this was quite a few years ago, and I said, what am I doing here teaching you candlesticks? And they said, so many traders and institutions are using candlesticks, they want to know what the heck they're looking at.
Do you feel very proud of your achievements, bringing candlesticks to the West?
Yeah, it's funny because I'm a big Wizard of Oz fan, and I like reading all the kind of behind the scenes. And one of the quotes, this is such a coincidence. One of I think Bert Lahr, who played the Cowardly Lion, he's asked a very common question: do you get not royalties, whatever it's called, you know, for if a movie, if every time it's showed, you get some money? And he said, no, but immortality will do.
And that's you.
So hopefully, you know, no matter, you know, when I'm gone, when people see candlesticks, you know, at least they'll be in some books that, hey, Steve Nissen revealed them to the West. So yeah, I'm really proud of it. And it's interesting because it took so much time and effort and resources, monetary and time also. I really enjoyed it, but it's great to see that all that time and effort really has paid dividends. I mean, not only for me, because I really enjoy teaching this, but, you know, for all the successful traders who we get testimonials from and emails from time and time again. So it's great to see.
In your experience, O Father of Modern Candlesticks, what makes a great trader?
One, know their style. And by the way, when I use the word trader, a lot of people out there don't realize you could use candlesticks for investments. I do it for my own portfolio. Now, one of the questions I'm asked a lot is how well the candlesticks work on an intraday chart. And the reason I mentioned that in response to your question is because it's the same answer. You have to know your personality. If you're a type A personality, you like a lot of action, you want quick decisions being forced on you, and you thrive on that, that will work for you. You know, that might be good if you're for you to trade intraday. But if you're more analytical, you want to think about all the pros and the cons, if you try intraday, you're going to be blown out. It doesn't mesh with your personality style. You should be looking at longer-term trading. So one of the things, again, from experience, is that know your personality. What kind of trading is good for you? Do you want really short-term or a little longer-term? And that really is key. And then, secondly, the aspect of always managing risk. To decide if you're going to get into a market, it's up to you. You could analyze it. You could think about it. Is the candlestick signal confirming a key support area? Is it a good risk reward? But once you're in the market, you're then not proactive. You're reactive. And then the market is a little bit more in control. So you should have a plan. Whenever I do a trade, and since I'm running a company, most of my analysis is done at nighttime. Whenever I put a trade in, I immediately put in a protective stop because that's when most of us are emotionally at equilibrium. You know, we talk about it's great when you're making profits, but you need the capital there to find the golden opportunities. Capital preservation, risk avoidance is critical.
Steve Nissen, so unfortunately, we're going to have to wrap it up here. Just one last question. Do you speak Japanese now?
No. I asked my Japanese the translator if I could, and the Japanese actually have three written languages, and he says it's easier teaching yourself surgery.
Is there anything you would like to offer our listeners, Steve?
Yes, again, because so many people not using candlesticks correctly out there or want to learn more, visiting our free ongoing educational link at www.candlechartacademy.com. And as I mentioned before, you'll get a free ebook, The Four Common and Most Dangerous Trading Mistakes. You'll get chart challenges. They'll get market updates.
Steve Nissen, the father of modern candlesticks, on behalf of all the share traders in Australia, thank you for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you, Carolyn.
And that's all we have for you today, guys. I'd like to thank our contributors, Steve Nissen and Jonathan Barrett. Stay tuned next week for John Dwyer, the guy who pulled off a marketing coup and snagged Jerry Seinfeld as a spokesperson. From the Institute of Wow, John talks to us about how to use the wow factor to boost your business results. I'm Caroline Stephen, and on behalf of the team here, thanks for your company. See you next time.
You've been listening to talkingtrading.com.au with Caroline Stephen. Make sure you are subscribed to this website to receive the very latest market views, commentary, and expert opinion. Tune in next week as we've got a bumper show planned. Bye for now.
The views represented on Talking Trading are general in nature and do not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Before acting on any information, consider its appropriateness in regard to your own situation.